Course, which teaches you exactly that, crisis-proof living. It's a desire of every individual. It's guaranteed for the child of God, provided we put into effect the principles that we have been taught from the Word of God. Class 30 is found on page 87, and it's a workshop, workshop number 6, mini lab number 6, and it's titled, Share Your Portion. And that title comes from an old scriptural example when the children of Israel were besieged by an enemy. And, the enemy was camped all around the children of Israel and waiting for them to finish eating all the foodstuffs that they had prepared. And what happened exactly was that everybody began to starve and they ate all their horses and all their donkeys, and the camels were now consumed, and in some cases, they were even fighting over children had died. They were cannibalism. Can you believe that? They ate cow. They ate dove dung because apparently there was protein found in it. And almost at the point when people were ready to die, there were two lepers who, fingers were off already, eaten away. And they said, let's go out to the camp. We heard a noise there the other night. It was a noise, a loud fighting, a clashing, and now it's quiet. Let's go take a look. And the other leper said, we're going to get killed if we go. And the first leper said, look, we're going to die anyways. If we don't die out of leprosy, we'll die from starvation. If we don't die from starvation, we're going to die by the sword. Maybe getting killed by the sword would hasten the process of death in any case. So they went there, and the noise they had found was that the angel of the Lord had routed out the enemy altogether and left behind the tents and all the animals and the food supplies primarily, and they gorged themselves. Man, this was wonderful. And as they began to bag the loaves of bread, one said to the other, it's not good that we eat this by ourselves. Let's go tell the people back there. And so they went back there and told them of the foodstuffs they had found. What is testifying? Is it not that one beggar telling another beggar where the food is? The food is God's word, Everyone has a portion. God has given you a portion, and it's not good that you keep that portion to yourself. Because you see, what God has given you, maybe I need. Now, God has given me certain things, and I share them with you. But you are also a receptacle of God, and you also get divine insights that I don't have. I don't have all the insights. I have some of the insights. I don't have all the insights. You have it. And so by you getting up and just sharing with us your insights and what the Lord has done for you is very, very meaningful. And so we want to just invite our students, and I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to enjoy this. Now, as we finish and tell what the Lord has done for us through this course primarily, and what insights you have, then the next person can get up and let's just do it. There's nobody here but us. And I am hungry to hear what God has done for you. Okay. Let's come up.
I want to thank God for the opportunity to be here.
I think maybe what I should do is turn this on for you first. There, we're on now. Sorry.
I want to thank God for the opportunity of being here. And there's four things that really struck me in this course that actually got stuck in my inside. And the first one was Moses, when again spoke about the thing that he had to go and do. The impact of that really struck me. I shared it already. If I had to go to Mr. Fondella today and ask him to let all the workforce of South Africa, please leave South Africa. It wouldn't even be funny. I don't think he'd smile. But if we realize the impact that that was and what he had to do, to me that was really something special. And then Saul, how he started with such good intentions, but slowly he forgot what God has called him for. His intention was so good. He never kept to what his intentions was. And then the way we can limit God by our actions. It's so often that we do mean good. We work so hard for God that we eventually started working without God. And that really struck into me. And then to think that I am an heir of Jesus Christ. And what really struck me is that Jesus died so that the inheritance can come to me. But not only that, he got up, rose, and became the executor of the heirs, and he now sees that I get that was actually promised to me. And I thank God for the opportunity of hearing this and getting to know this in my life. And I thank God for that. Amen.
Here I received knowledge and a guideline for step-by-step application. All I have to do is be like Ezekiel and eat the roll. Move in faith, in blind faith, and be obedient to God. And my life will receive the greatest blessing and enrichment that I could ever wish for.
I think the Lord has taught me something. I'm a Martha, very organized, hardworking person. And I always felt an anger that Jesus could say to that Mary has chosen the good portion, because who would feed the people? Who would do the work if everybody just sits? And the Lord has taught me now, in a wonderful, gentle way, that he doesn't want to change me, but getting more of Jesus and putting more into myself, I can become more of myself. I'm a giver. I can give more if I receive more. And that is what he taught me.
Well, I'm very grateful for this course. Hosea says to us that his people perish because of lack of knowledge. And I've always been very, very hungry for the Word of God. And last year I was praying, Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of thyself, that the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened, that I may know the hope of my calling in Christ Jesus. And I've been praying for the renewing of my mind. And what I can say is, if I can apply that which I've learned in this course, then my prayers will truly be answered. I give the Lord the glory that he's brought me here to be able to partake of this beautiful table that we've been allowed to sit at. I give him the glory.
Thank you for this opportunity to share what God did in my life through this course. Firstly, I've learned what enormous power I have in Christ, because it has been emphasized in this course that godly power, godly authority and spiritual power is never lost, but it is abdicated. So that guarantees that I've got the strength to resist the devil and any demonic attacks if I stay in Christ, and that any excess that evil spirits have in my life is excess that I've abdicated, that I've given them. Now that to me is very powerful. That is a great strengthener and encouragement to my life. I've learned that, I've gained that insight, and I intend to maintain that position until Jesus comes. Thank you.
Well, Philippians 4 verse 4:19, as it says, never worry for nothing, no how. Now, the antidote for worry, that was really made an impact in my life at this stage, because so many unknown things just come your way, even though you're in the Word and even though you try and cover yourself with prayer and intercession and all these things. And for this last 2 weeks, I was like heavily attacked by the enemy with negative stuff that didn't come from inside, but was just coming all the time from the outside. And things happen to your children, and the tax people suddenly just send you a bill that you never expected to pay so many thousands, and all his worries. And what really made an impact on my life is to build not a wall, but peace. And while we were talking about building that wall, that fortress, I thought, yeah, there must be steel in the brick. Not just a brick, I must put big steels in there. But suddenly, the word just came out as, no, build walls of peace. Mm-hmm. And that is, building the walls of peace really made such an impact in my life. Instead of having all this worry, just build the peace of God, the word of God, and what he suggests that we should think of all the time. And then we'll have the peace of God in our lives.
I just want to give the Lord all the praise, thanks, and honor that I could be part of this study. And I want to thank him. This is an opportunity that I just wanted to grab hold of with all of my strength. This few days I've been so motivated. I've experienced such motivation that it's not going to be very difficult the last couple of miles. I know it's going to be worth it all. And I just want to run it with joy and happiness. It's not going to be long, and it's going to be worth it all.
Wonderful, yes.
Okay, there's just so many things in this course that blessed me, too many to number them all. But one thing that really touched me is about prayer, your prayer life. That everything that you get, everything's opened up through prayer. And that really just touched me, and I just want to thank the Lord, and I'm really honored to be able to do this course at such an age. And I'm not afraid to admit that I'm really blessed to be able to do it at this age.
Wonderful, thank you.
I woke up this morning at about 2 o'clock with an aeroplane flying around in my bedroom. And I said, Lord, I really need to sleep. And the moment I said that, I said, I'm sorry, Lord, what do you have to say to me? And then I re-looked at the aeroplane and I saw that it was extremely streamlined and it was very, very, very beautifully built. It was built for a king's kid. And then I looked inside of the aeroplane and I saw that it was packed with angels. It was really awesome. It was very, very beautiful. And then I could experience the presence of the Holy Spirit in that aeroplane, even though I was on the outside. And then the next thing, I saw myself sitting at the tape recorder and I was listening to one of the tapes, the first subject that I did of Dr. Kent, the well-adjusted personality, and firstly I was listening to the tapes before I even saw the video. And the Lord showed me that the day that I sat there listening to the first tape, I said to him, Lord, I really need to meet this man. I really need to meet the spiritual father that you've sent over my path to come and teach me. And then I re-looked at the aeroplane, and in the middle of the aeroplane, among all of these angels, guess who was sitting there? Dr. Wilfred Kent. And God said to me something very awesome. He said, I've imported him for you. Yeah? I've imported him all the way for you to come and sit here at his feet and to come and learn the things that I need for you to know now, the things that I want to impart in your spirit for now, for the things that you need for now. And I really thank God for that. And I thank you too.
Wonderful. Babe, before you sit down, dear, you said you had a song. Do you need to? Do you need music for that song? You can't sing it. You have to plug it in, though, and everything. Can you?
I will just give them the music.
Okay. Go ahead and do that. If we have time, we'll hear you sing that piece, okay? Thank you so much.
Okay, this was a somewhat peculiar course, if I could call it that. The best way I could describe this course is the range of a bulldozer and the precision of a surgical knife. It hit rather wide, and I think only in my later days will I really appreciate what I've learned here. But what's really struck me is that it was finally outlined how the early church started to deteriorate. And what was coming through the material consistently was a challenge. We fell from power. We're still the Christian church is still the strongest force. Jesus will never lose his power through us.
Right.
But there's a challenge. And through this material, through Dr. Kent, God said, here's the crisis-proof living. Live in it. You have the power to change this world. You just have to go. So I really got a challenge from God to go live to my fullest potential.
That's wonderful, Claude. Thank you so much. That's exciting. All right. Are we waiting for people to come up? Okay.
I'm ashamed to say that I only decided to come to this course because the man with poetry in his voice and his mouth was hosting it. And I didn't realize that God had a divine appointment with me. My husband and I are going through a period of growth, and growth is always pain and adjustment. And in lesson 28, we were challenged to grow up. And this whole year, I've been challenged with growing up. It's not always easy, but while sitting here under the rain of the word, I'm just refreshed, because my husband and I grew weary and we grew faint. The first night when I got home, I found her depressed, visionless, tired, unshaved person there. And suddenly I knew that's our spiritual life at this stage. And I praise God that he's just sent me this practical tool. I realize that I'll be using it for a year or so before I'll be able to work through it on my own time. But it is so. We've been challenged. I've been challenged. And, well, I have new hope. And my husband is better, too.
Bless you, dear. Bless you.
In music, they get something you call a crescendo. And when I came here from the first lesson, everything has been building and building, building up. And it's getting more and more and more excited for me. Hebrews, the sixth chapter, start off by saying you must move on to what you've been taught. Coming back to what Dr. Ken said about nappies. And Hosea says, 6 verse 4, says, my people died due to the lack of knowledge. And with the explaining of the historical background of the Israelites, my knowledge got illuminated. And I can clearly say where I'm standing now, I'm humanity amalgamated with divinity. And I'm so excited. Thank you.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now I would like to give my testimony as well. I came here to minister to you, and you've ministered to me. I have been blessed out of my gourd. And a gourd is my head I'm talking to. From the lady who put on my makeup, to the gentleman who brings my tea, to the young lady who just spoke, who came in while I was drinking my tea, and she said, I feel the Lord has, I want to minister to you in dance. I've never had that happen to me. She actually danced before the Lord in my presence and ministered to me. The gal who brought the jar of honey. Oh, what sweetness that was. The lady who's about to sing, she said, I have a song for you, or for the Lord. And I've asked her to possibly do that even now, if that's a possibility. I said, yeah, well, I want to hear what you've got. And you folk have treated me with such royalty and with such dignity. I often said, you know, when a stray cat is hungry and you feel sorry for that stray cat and you put a saucer of milk on the back stoop or a back step, and that cat drinks that milk, do you think he's going to leave? I don't think you're ever going to get rid of me. I've been treated so royally and so well. Come and minister to us, can you?
We heard yesterday that when we come into the presence of the Lord to minister unto Him, that sometimes we need to be quiet before Him so that He can minister unto us and give us that ministry to give back unto Him. And so often we don't know what to say unto God, but then He comes and fills us with what He wants us to minister to Him. And yesterday when we were quiet yet, the Lord just filled me with a new song, and I'd really like to share that with you.
So many ways we can minister to one another. In one case it's with song, in another case it's with dance, in another case it's with a little jar of honey. Would you believe a man came up the other day and he came to me and he said, "I want to bless you." He wasn't wearing a tie. He had a nice suit on, a nice shirt on, no tie. That's because he took his tie off and gave it to me. I assume that's what he had to give, and he gave his best. There are so many ways we can minister one to another. Never, never depreciate what the Lord has given to you or count it unworthy, because that's exactly what the person needs at that specific moment of time. I want to thank you all. We still have 4 minutes. Does anyone have a concluding word? Come on in. We're going to call you Shorty.
I would be unfaithful if I don't come and tell what the Lord has done and what I've seen. When she finished her song, I've just seen eagles soaring. And that's what God has done to me in this couple of days. You have put me on the wings of an eagle, and I am soaring. Of all the wisdom and the blessings and the word and the courage and the love and the faith and that what he is so true in and his Calvary love. And then God has taken me early this morning at 3 o'clock into his presence, and he's shown me the tomb. It's so wonderful. He has risen. And on the tomb walls, there was not even a slight shadow of myself, which I praise him.
Bless you, my darling. My daughter, bless you. That's interesting. There wasn't any shadow of her on the tomb. Michelangelo wore a lamp on his head, and I'll be talking about that in a little while. He wore a lamp on his head when he was carving out his figures, when he was sculpturing his beautiful works of art. And the reason why he wore a lamp on his head is lest his shadow fall on his work and he mar it. That's what happens very often in Christian circles. You know, our shadow falls upon it. I have a book, and I have to hurry to tell you this story. It was written back in the 1800s. It was biographies of men who were great evangelists throughout the world. Men I had never known. But as I read their biographies, I saw their sensitivity to the Spirit of God. One man would not speak by raising his voice, lest people were drawn to God as a result of his persona. And so he talked in a monotone voice, and people by the score came to Jesus. I think of Adoniram Judson, who went to Burma, was it, to be a missionary, and he lost everything, and he just trusted in the Lord completely. Sinners in the Hands of God was another message that the preacher preached, and he had to do it in a monotone voice. He didn't have any ability to speak. All he did was just read. The conviction fell so hard and so strong that fingernail prints are still found in the pews of the church, where people got up and shaking before God. And sometimes our best intentions and our best abilities become the shadow that falls. It's God in us, the hope of glory, not our own ability. Well, we've come to the end of this wonderful class, but we certainly haven't come to the end of Crisis Proof Living. Thank you for ministering to us. Let's live victoriously for Him. Wonderful. Welcome you once again to Crisis Proof Living. That's our desire. It's accessible to us by righteous living. We follow the principles of God's Word, and it is virtually a guarantee for each one of us. Lesson 31 is found on page 88, and it's entitled The New Age Saint and the Perils of Deception. What do we want to do is the alarm that we want to sound the alarm for danger, the danger of deception, that is. We want to call. We want to bring a call, or to heed seriously the frequent warnings about deception, and we wish to summon the church to pursue credibility and authenticity. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. We read, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ." I want to read the introduction on page 88. The Scripture frequently warns us against the perils of deception. If we were to give diligent heed to this repeated admonition, we must be able to recognize deception when we see it. That's one of the problems. We don't see deception when it's there. The sad reality is that most people are unaware of its presence and therefore are led into captivity by their own free will. The Apostle Paul challenges Timothy with these words, "In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves." Did you note? Who opposes whom? We oppose ourselves. Okay, we have to start off. That was my best introduction.